letter in support of the application has been received from Jimmy L. McWilliams and Bruce Wardell. On August 17th of 2007, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. I believe each commissioner also has a copy of that exhibit booklet in their possession. I think that's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Anyone here representing this application?
Evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Drew Ward from Millsboro, Delaware. I'm the president and CEO of Sussex Ventures, the applicant on this project. I'd like to take a minute and just briefly give you an overview of the project. Meadow Ridge Estates is proposed as a 44-lot subdivision on approximately 61 acres. Site's located west of Seaford on Line Road. Being near the community of Seaford, the proposed subdivision is designed to provide housing for first-time homebuyers, established families, as well as local workers. With the addition of the new Lowe's, several new restaurants, and new commercial center nearby, seems to be a good location for a housing community where the local workforce can raise a family. Subdivision application is requesting to subdivide 61 acres into 44 lots. Under the current county code, 60-plus lots would be allowed on the parcel. The site contains 10 acres of a conservation area, 5 acres of wetlands, and over 6 acres of stormwater and buffer area. This accounts for over 34% of open space on this site. We feel that the proposed size and density of this project better fits with the overall character of the community than one of a higher density and less open space. Sussex County regulations require that developers consider 17 criteria prior to submission of any request. Each of these criteria have been given careful consideration. In addition, several experts and professionals have been consulted. This list includes DLDOT, soil scientists, environmental scientists, stormwater design professionals, civil engineers, and road construction contractors. I'd like to take a minute and just go ahead and address the 17 criteria. The integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. This site fits between two large parcels. A planned 30-foot buffer on the north and south side will make this project almost completely surrounded by trees. Since this site is mostly clear and will be surrounded by trees, it will be an ideal site for homes and allow a buffer with the adjacent properties. There are just over 5 acres of wetlands found on this site. They have been delineated by coastal and estuarine research and are shown on the proposed plan. The concept plan layout provides for no disruption to those wetlands, and no lot will have any wetlands on it. We have provided a large buffer between the lots and the wetlands. A wetlands disclosure has also been placed in the proposed restrictions as per the county code. The natural feature of this parcel is a gentle rolling field. This will be preserved as best as possible by moving a minimum amount of soil. Preservation of open space and scenic views. The concept plan calls for a significant amount of open space. As I said earlier, all trees currently on the site will be maintained as a conservation area. We have discussed a possible conservation easement with Marlene Mervine of the Nanticoke Conservancy. This would prohibit any disturbance or hunting on any of the open space. Homeowners will be able to enjoy the wildlife in their natural habitat. Also, as we mentioned earlier, a 30-foot buffer is planned on both sides of the property where farmland is bordered. We anticipate no removal of trees. I'm sorry if I'm repetitious there, but the site plan as we have it, and at no point during construction do we anticipate any trees to be removed. The final road design will incorporate a minimum amount of movement of soil and maintain current grade to the extent possible. While there are a few objectionable features visible on neighboring properties, the planting of trees on the proposed buffer will limit the views of the neighboring fields. These tree buffers will also provide a wind buffer as well as a landscape border. Water supply will be from on-site wells, and sewage disposal will be provided by on-site septic systems. We have received a letter of feasibility, as Mr. Lank mentioned earlier. Prevention of pollution of stormwater, surface, and groundwater. The project design has a system of swales that force the surface water, mostly being rain runoff, to be diverted to designated storm pond areas as shown on your plan. This is where it will be stored and discharged at a measured rate in accordance with the Sussex Conservation District approval of any proposed plans. This subdivision will greatly reduce erosion and sedimentation, have little impact on groundwater levels, decrease the rate of runoff, decrease the potential for flooding, and maximize groundwater recharge. Erosion and sedimentation will be reduced since water from the site will not leave as rapidly as it does currently. It will be slowed as it flows through the grassy swales and is collected in the storm ponds. Because of the storm ponds, there is a significant decrease in any chance for flooding. Water from the ponds will be discharged into Turtle Branch at a controlled rate. Groundwater recharge will be increased since the on-site stormwater will be kept on-site longer and seep slowly into the earth instead of running rapidly into Turtle Branch as it does now. Each of these areas will be positively impacted by this project. DLDOT has stated that they have no objection to the proposed entrance location. The interior roads are proposed to be built to county specifications with an asphalt surface. A speed limit of 15 miles per hour is proposed within the development, as has been the practice in other developments that we have done. Streetlights are also planned throughout the project. We have submitted proposed deed restrictions that will provide an attractive, well-maintained community. With proposed land home packages from $225,000 and up, this project will have a positive effect on property values in the area. By approving this project, more lots will be available, therefore some of the market pressure will create more lots on neighboring farmlands. The pressure will be decreased, thus tending to preserve some area farmland. The major effect on schools will be an increase in the amount of tax revenue. We do anticipate students moving from in-town areas to a country setting. The difference may be in the difference in the school system as far as Seaford School District, but there probably will not be an increase in the amount of students as a whole. There will be increased traffic on this section of Line Road north of Route 20. However, the road is not considered a high traffic road, nor will it be if this subdivision is approved. The proposed entrance is visible on Line Road from over 3,000 feet in both directions. The Reliance area is not an industrial or commercial area. It is composed of homes and farmland. This subdivision will be very compatible with the other land uses in the area. Since it will almost be completely surrounded by trees, compatibility should not be a concern. Effect on area waterways. The closest waterway is Turtle Branch, which is at the rear of the property. The improvement of quality of water in this waterway was documented earlier, and we believe that that's going to be an increase in the quality of the whole waterway itself. Based on the engineer's preliminary planning, the post-development runoff rate will be less than the current runoff rate. A system of grassy swales will capture the stormwater and direct it to the pond areas. Included in our preliminary plan, we have kept approximately 21 acres of open space, which includes a wooded conservation area. This open space will provide buffers for neighboring properties and allow for area wildlife to maintain their existing habitat. We are proposing to build the roads in this site to county specs and include a landscape entrance and street lighting. As mentioned earlier, we anticipate homeowners in this community to include nurses, school teachers, public safety personnel, and many other local residents. Local residents, through our research, desire lots and homes that are reasonably priced, yet restricted to provide for long-term value. We anticipate lot prices to be in the $60,000 to $75,000 price range, with homes selling from $225,000 to $269,000. This price point seems to be consistent with the current real estate market sales. We have submitted restrictions for this community that allow stick-built and modular homes, but does not allow manufactured homes of any kind. An architectural review is also provided to maintain styling and aesthetics within the community. The proposed restrictions provide for 1,600 square foot minimum homes with a two-car garage minimum. We believe these homes will certainly increase property values in the area. Included in your packet, there are several renderings of proposed homes that we feel are appropriate in this area and what we plan on building. In closing, the proposed subdivision application, we believe, is a low-density, single-family community in a country setting. This request is for significantly fewer lots than the county code currently allows. We have positively addressed the criteria in 99.9-C of the subdivision code. We are planning to form a homeowners association to be responsible for the maintenance of the streets, buffers, stormwater areas, and other common areas. Sussex Ventures has done several residential communities in the past 10 years throughout the county and provided countless opportunities for people to achieve home ownership. This project will uphold our reputation of providing homes on lots in neat, well-maintained communities and will be a great addition to the county and the Seaford area. We respectfully request that you approve this subdivision application since it meets the criteria for the development and will provide housing for local residents. I'd like to have Kevin Smith with Kircher Engineering to come up and just briefly touch on some of the technical aspects.
Again, my name is Kevin Smith, as I stated earlier, with Kircher Engineering. As Drew stated earlier, the project is 61 acres. They're only asking for 44 lots, which results in a density of around 0.7 units per acre. There are wetlands in the rear of the site, about 5.22 acres. There is a conservation area of 10 acres, excluding the wetlands. So outside of the wetlands, there is an additional 10 acres of conservation area. The buffers on each side of the project are additional 1.15 acres, which in total is 21.5 acres. Typically in a standard 3/4 acre subdivision, no open space is technically required, only for stormwater management and appropriate buffers to ag lands. And in this project, there's about 35% open space. As stated earlier, there's no lots that contain any wetlands. The closest lot to any wetland line is 100 feet. So there's about a 100-foot buffer from the wetlands. Naturally, it doesn't take an even 100 feet away, but in order to conserve all the trees, we've provided that extra buffer. As stated earlier, we do have septic feasibility, the letter of no objection, and Sussex County has approved all three road names. Drew touched on it earlier with the 99-9C. We believe that everything has been provided for a nice aesthetic subdivision that could house the moderate income families. Earlier, we have, if granted preliminary approval, we have to get all the appropriate approvals, DLDOT for the entrance. We have to get Conservation District to allow the stormwater discharge, which we will we'll certainly try to reduce. We have to meet the existing runoff rates, but we are going to attempt to reduce the rate of runoff. We'll open it up for any questions.
All right, see if anyone has any. Mr. Gordy, we'll start with you.
The forested area that you stated you will not cut, is there any trees that are in the lot lines in the rear? There's no trees at all.
I don't. It appears there are no trees within the lots.
Okay.
There's one real close to lot 25, Gordy, Mr. Gordy, I think that you were referencing. It's at the very rear of the lot.
Yeah, it's at the rear.
But I think that's, it's just right on the property line. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the plan, it's actually outside of that line.
Okay.
A couple lines on there, they blend together sometimes.
I just wonder if there's any trees on there. How are you going to make a notation that there will be no trees cut? But if that's not going to be a problem.
Right. Part of the design, when Kevin originally designed it, we were trying to keep all the lots outside of any wooded area just for that purpose.
Okay. In the conservation area, what are your plans on that again? Go over that again, please.
What we did in our original design was try to come up with a decent layout of lots, but while maintaining the wooded area and the conservation area. We've talked to Marley Mervine with Nanticoke Conservancy on another project. We work with them that basically they granted a conservation easement in which they sort of would oversee that area. Because of the wetlands, you know, we don't want any activity going on in the wetlands at all. There's a small area that's just behind lot 20, I guess 24 and 25. It's a cleared area. Mm-hmm. You know, potentially there could be some passive amenities there of a gazebo or things of that nature, but we really didn't want to have a whole lot of interaction with that wooded area. But the conservation area would just be, I guess, sort of set aside open space that would be a part of the community. It would be under the homeowner association would eventually own it, but that the conservancy would sort of oversee it.
Okay. So then your deed restriction, there's definitely no cutting in there or building
deed,
or anything?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then how will you designate where the wetlands start from the lot lines? I mean, how would people know where the wetlands start?
Well, based on the plot plan, most of them are right along the ditch line. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think that the Conservancy has done in the past is they put up small placards or signs when you get close to that area, sort of saying, hey, wetlands, keep out, or things of that nature. And I think between that and education of the homeowners, that, you know, I think they're going to want to keep that area as sort of a natural state.
And do you have an area that could you dedicate for a bus stop if the school district so desires?
We looked at, we can possibly integrate something at the entrance. We've set aside sort of an entrance notch there.
Okay.
That within the sort of the association or within the street right away.
That's all the questions I have right now.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe I heard you mention it. I didn't make a note of it as to what you indicate the distance to Seaford is. City limits.
I think actually to the city limits is about, I want to say 5 miles. I don't know if I have accurate. It's about a half mile to Route 20, and then probably an additional 5 miles to in that general vicinity.
Do you find yourself in the Seaford Fire Protection District? Is that the
yes.
closest response? Was there, while this area is today very rural, was there any thought to, in the layout of the street, to possibly have a interconnection for future development, as we had seen on a site plan at a public hearing earlier tonight?
I think there would only be one viable interconnection, and no one has asked, as far as DelDOT typically asks for the interconnection and or the commission. The only place for an interconnection would be here, because there is a ditch on this side here that would require a permit to fill in order to place that interconnection.
All right, sir.
But there could be an interconnection to the south.
Just before you finished with your dissertation, you mentioned about the stormwater and the discharge as one of the issues you would address. Where would that water, any discharge, go?
It will go into Turtle Branch.
So it'll go to the west?
It'll go to the west and the north.
North and west.
There's a ditch along the north property line, and there's wetlands in the rear for the branch. These two ponds are probably going to be interconnected and either discharge at this point or discharge here into the branch.
That be done through underground piping or through creative
right,
swales?
That would be a pipe underground.
Do you see, because you can see this plan, certainly going on your experience much better than I can, any adverse impact to the stormwater, the location of the stormwater management areas on these lots that are cut out or stripped off along 550? While there's any of those possible lots like E, F, G, H, and et cetera, is I'm not saying that there is any. I can't visualize it. I didn't know if you.
You're asking if it's going to impact these lots, the stormwater?
In your opinion, yes.
It should not. It's going to be designed to hold the stormwater and not discharge towards the roadway.
I think typically we would do probably what we're considering, and a lot of this depends on soil conservation and what they want us to do, is do two wet ponds with, on the northernmost boundary, some type of overflow structure so that at a certain elevation that they sort of agree with, that the water would overflow at that point and discharge into the ditch.
Thank you. That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
In your stormwater management pond that's kind of in the center, how would you access that?
We discussed placing an access between 3 and 4. It's not shown on these plans, but there's adequate room to provide.
We talked about doing a dedicated area from the development street.
Outside of the lot lines. It would be separate.
Would there be any buffer area around that stormwater and the other one as well? Is there any planted buffer? What's that going to look like on the back?
I think a lot of that, because of the being a preliminary design, we don't know exactly, you know, if we're going to need an acre pond or things of that nature. So I think we're going to try to work with soil conservation to find the best plan as far as the actual sizing. We don't have any specific plans to do, plantings around it. I know sometimes in the past we would do along the backs of the lot lines on the actual lots. So that when somebody bought a lot, it's, you know, the trees were already integrated onto their lot, as opposed to having to, you know, put something on the homeowner association.
Are you more concerned about the strip lots here and providing a buffer between the strip lots? I don't see where there'd be a problem with adding some landscape here.
Did I understand it correctly that the stormwater management pond over here would then outfall into that ditch?
Potentially, yeah. A lot of that depends on soil conservation. That's our plan, is to sort of capture the stormwater from the site in one or both of those ponds, probably have them tied together with ultimately an outfall somewhere over on the northern ditch.
And then the access to the conservation district is through lots 28 and 29?
Yes, that's correct. There's a 25-foot dedicated access point right there at where the intersection of the street.
Okay, and that would be for if any one of the residents wanted to walk through and.
Yeah, I think some of that is for access. Again, for the conservation group to get in there, and it could be we're somewhat concerned about integrating walking trails because of the wetlands and things of that nature. But yeah, certainly the homeowner association, they're ultimately going to own that parcel, so they would have, you know, access at any time. That's why I referenced sort of the gazebo or passive amenity on sort of some of the other open space that could be, you know, integrated.
Okay, would that be signed? Something that says this is okay to walk through here?
It could be. I mean, it's the first time we've ever dealt with anything like of this nature, so we.
Mr. Johnson.
Was there any previous mention about a bus stop?
Yes, there was.
Mr. Gordon.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gordon. I should have known better.
At the entrance, there's a significant notch on either side of the entrance to provide for a standard bus shelter.
And on the north side of the property, there's a ditch.
Yes.
The proposed 30-foot forested buffer area would not include the ditch?
It is from the top of the ditch back. So the 30 feet is measured from the top of the ditch. And there's also an additional, I'd say, 30, 35 feet access from this stormwater management area outside of the buffer to the conservation area.
Now, what about the access to the ditch? Is that going to be on the other property owner or on you?
Yeah, there's access to the ditch through this open space. Most of the ditch is actually on our.
So what, am I correct in that you're saying there's a ditch plus the 30-foot forested buffer?
Yes, and you're saying if we need to clean it out.
How are you gonna access it?
How are you gonna access it? We could switch this 30-foot buffer to here.
I'm not sure with the, we've not checked with soil conservation as far as, you know, which side of the ditch, you know, that they utilize normally. But I think like Kevin said, it could be cleaned out through the stormwater management area on the south side. But that's a consideration we need to look at with addressing the buffer.
But I guess what I'm really, what I'm trying to do is clarify the point that there's going to be a 30-foot forested buffer and it will not include the ditch.
That's right.
Right. So there, so we don't have any misunderstanding with this project.
No, there won't be a misunderstanding.
Okay.
And if deemed necessary, there is ample room. There's an additional 35 feet here.
Okay.
That connects these open spaces that this forested buffer can be relocated
farther to the
south. Modified to the south and provide an access for maintenance of this ditch.
Okay.
Well, I can probably answer that question for you easily in two ways. One, the buffer is going to go all the way down to the back of the strip lots. It's going to go past the stormwater management area. And second, you're more than likely going to have a condition if this is approved that's going to say you're going to need a landscape plan, which is going to have to show the access.
Right, and it shows on the plan. And I've seen that problem before where you don't buffer your stormwater management area.
From now on.
Tax ditch.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, whether it's a tax ditch or not.
My understanding is that it's a farmer's ditch. It's not the Turtle Branch, I think, is a tax ditch. The one that comes up the north property line, to my understanding, is it's not a tax ditch per se.
That's important, obviously, because then that would affect the buffer if you have a maintenance
sure.
easement on one side or the other.
Yeah, we've seen maintenance easements recently that were 250 feet.
Mm-hmm.
25.
And the what I'm looking at makes reference to a future lot one and future lot J.
Actually, those are recorded.
They are recorded now.
Yeah. Yes,
so
sir.
There's okay, like the other ones that are along this.
Correct.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Lang.
My questions have all been answered. Thank you,
Mr. Couts. No questions.
Yeah, my questions have all been answered.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. You'll kindly take a seat. We'll see if there's anyone here who has an interest in your application. For anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-28 Sussex Ventures Incorporated?
I'm with them. If I could say a few words.
Well, I think maybe you can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Don Ward. I'm with a family business from Millsboro, Delaware. Thank you very much for listening to me. I just want to wrap up, really, our presentation. Anytime Sussex Ventures does a proposed subdivision, we go into the community and talk to the people that are there. And I've spent some time talking to some of the people that live in this community. And they have some concerns, and I realize they do, and I'd like to address some of those concerns. Some of them are here, and they'll share their concerns with you. One of the concerns is the drainage on Line Road. We actually went out and met with DelDOT, and we met with some of the neighbors on Line Road, and we agree with their concerns. There is a drainage problem there. It's a complex problem. I think DelDOT would tell you, they told me, it's not one that has a real easy solution. If you look at this farm standing on Line Road, especially on the south end, there's a gentle rise to the farm. Runs about 3/4 of the way back to Turtle Branch. Currently, when it rains, the rainwater is tending to run down the gentle rise, down the slope, into the highway swales. If this project is approved, the rainwater that's falling on this 61 acres, sorry, will not be allowed to run down to the highway gutters. It'll be forced to run into the swales that you've heard described and you see on the map over there. So the amount of water from this 61 acres that is currently, much of it, rolling onto the highway swale will not be allowed to do that. So the concern that we all have about the drainage there will be less of a concern if the project is approved, because there will be less rainwater that will be allowed to run down into the highway swales. DLDOT will not approve the project unless it is shown that all the water is going to be contained in the project through the stormwater swales, as they've discussed. Another concern would be Turtle Branch itself. Turtle Branch has, I think the neighbors will tell you, and I certainly agree, has demonstrated that it is not always able to take care of rainwater, especially excessive rainwater. When the storm structures that you've heard described in pretty much detail, when those storm ponds are built with the retentions that are going to be required, the rate of water that goes into Turtle Branch from this 61 acres will be required to be less than it is now. So the point that I want to make is that as far as Turtle Branch is concerned, as far as the ability of Turtle Branch to contain, carry stormwater, this project is going to decrease the rate that stormwater goes into the branch. Sussex Conservation District will not begin to approve the project unless we can demonstrate, unless Mr. Smith can demonstrate, can guarantee that that water is going to be kept on our site for some period of time. And of course, when it's kept on the site, it's going to drop some of its sediment. Is it going to eventually end up in Turtle Branch? Some of it surely is. But less of it is than now, at a lower rate. So the approval of this project is going to be a part of the solution, a small part of the solution, but it's certainly not going to be a part of the problem as far as Turtle Branch carrying stormwater away from the community. The final thing is the density. The idea that we're not trying to jam 10 or 15 additional lots onto this site is a deliberate decision. We could certainly have done that. Mr. Smith is quite capable of designing projects for the maximum number of lots, but we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make sure there were no trees cut, and you've talked about that whole issue. So the open space here is, it seems to me, a tremendously large percentage of open space. We simply want to have a nice, affordable community in the country where people can enjoy the country, they can enjoy the habitat, and we think that our plans meet all the codes, and we respectfully would ask you to approve this plan. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions for the gentleman? Gentlemen?
No.
Being none? Okay. Well, let me ask again, is there anyone here that would wish to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-28? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-28? Yes, sir. Step right up. Yes, sir. You're fine. No, I don't blame you. I'm jealous, tell you.
I'm not really, my name is Jeffrey T. Hill. I live at 26305 Line Road, Seaford, Delaware. I'm not really here to speak totally in opposition of this plan. I certainly am sorry to ever see farmland sold as a development, personally, because I certainly enjoyed the serenity. I'm actually a dealer for a large tank grain tank manufacturer, and the rep, I'll just share this with you quickly. The rep came to meet with me, and he said, well, I see you guys are planting a lot of houses out on the East Coast, and it really kind of, it's sad but true. But be that as it may, I mean, this is no longer a farm. It's been sold. These gentlemen respectfully have invested a lot of money. I'm not here to, I know that I'm not going to change the world, but I would like to share with you some pictures of my house.
Can you work it, if that's good?
Sure, we're right in.
PowerPoint
pictures are okay.
I got pictures. It's from 2002 and 2006.
Well, we don't have a screen.
Kind of losing my wife. But it just shows the water problem that is evident in our area. If they say what they say, I find it hard to believe that they're not going to have to do a lot more earth moving than what they're saying. If it's just in order to get this problem under control for that development not to drain water to our onto my property, if they do that, that's fine with me. I don't know how I'll find out if it's. I certainly would love to see the plan. I do know how to read elevations, so. But I don't know how that comes about. That's my main concern is that, and the other one is infrastructure. I do disagree respectfully with Mr. Ward's statement that this road is not a high traveled road. It is very, very well traveled. It's never been paved. It's strictly a dirt road with crush and run put on top of it, and that's the way it's been for years. There's roads on both sides. When you come out Woodpecker Road, it's paved. The Route 20 is paved. That section in there has never been paved because I guess Maryland, Delaware can't get together on it. But it is a concern of mine greatly because if 44 homes, figure two cars a home, that's 88 to 100 cars more a day that's going to be traveling up down that road. If I'd be more than happy to take anyone for a ride down that road. If you don't know what you're doing, there's one point in the road where you can actually lose back into your truck or car, whatever, actually will slide over to the side because of the series of bumps. There was actually a 19-year-old boy killed out there because they were drag racing, but because of the condition of that road and how rough it is, they lost control and he was thrown out of the car and killed. So, I mean, it is a very, very big concern of mine that road is not going to withstand that kind of traffic. Number the other thing is once the Galestown Bridge is fixed, as we all know, once the Sharptown Carnival, that's the main road going to Sharptown Carnival. I can sit out there and count 100 cars a night going up and down just for that purpose, knowing that's where they're going. And, you know, as I said, I'm not so much opposed to it. I certainly think they have a very good plan, and I appreciate the fact that they haven't tried to use every single acre to put 60-some homes out here, which is what I thought was going to happen. I did meet with Mr. Ward, and I do appreciate that fact. I think they're trying to do the right thing, and as long as that happens, I really don't oppose it. My only problem is, and it is a question to this board, if you approve this subdivision, is this set in gold? I mean, can this be changed? And
the number of lots would be set. Sometimes the plans change. Somewhat because of stormwater considerations or something like that, or DelDOT wants the entrance in a different place, which would be fairly difficult on this plan, but generally that's what it would look like.
As you can see, really, and I don't know, and respectfully, if they can do it, the design-wise, I don't see how they're going to do it without moving a mess of dirt, that they're not going to be draining into that ditch that actually is inevitably runs down towards my property. That's not really, I don't really have a problem with that because as long as it's in the ditch, it's supposed to go where it's going. What I'm concerned with is back here near my property. Of course, my property is not going to be touched, and it naturally does slope, as Mr. Ward said. But, I don't care about stuff, the rain that falls on my property. What I'm worried about is what's, and I know it's legally they can't really let rainwater go that way, but as long as I see that the final design is such that it's not going to happen, I don't really have issue with the water side. I'm trying to take care of some of the problems myself with what I see that's also contributing to this. But the only main concern I have is the infrastructure coming down that
coming down that road, you know, the power and all that, who's going to be responsible for it? I don't think that road's going to hold up a year after the, if this development gets full, unless something's done to it. And that's really all I had to say as far as concerned. I appreciate your time, and if there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
All right, sir. We appreciate your time. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
My name is Carlton Jones, and my property is on the other side of Turtle Branch from this existing property. We had a lengthy conversation with Mr. Ward Saturday morning. My ending statement with him was, if he got our water situation in Turtle Branch solved, he would not hear another word from me, because I know I can't stop development. I don't think we need developments with farmland on four sides of it. But it seems as though we're getting it, whether we need it or not.
Not too many. Yet.
Pardon?
They haven't got it yet.
A lot of places.
That's why they're here.
Well, anyhow, that's beside the point. I have some pictures that my neighbor, Ronnie Cook, had. And this is not from a 100-year storm, like I guess they said a year ago, June 23rd was. This was in 2001, and this is at the end of the ditch where it comes out to Road 78, and it's not a very pretty picture either. Where I'm coming from is, if we have to have these developments, we don't need to be doing it at the expense of the neighbors. We already have a problem. I do not have an engineer's degree. I'm not qualified to say that, I guess, and I apologize to Mr. Ward because I thought I was qualified, I guess. I cannot see how you can have 50-some 1,500 square foot houses that all of them are going to have roofs on them. They're going to have sidewalks, they're going to have driveways, and they're going to have roads to get there. Now, how you can end up with less runoff than you had before, other than their storm ponds. But I heard twice that the exit to these storm ponds was Turtle Branch. Turtle Branch is totally exceeded right now. And they have been trying to do something about this problem for about 10 years, because each time they do, they have to come to me. The last proposal was to physically walk the ditch with the prisoners and clean out the trash, which they did about a third of the way. Now, as I said, I don't have an engineering degree, but I know what it takes to let and make water run. And if they don't clean out the other end, what good does it do to clean out our end? And their latest proposal is to mechanically clean the ditch to, in fact, I just talked to Mr. Crockett this week, from the road 78 to and back of my barn, because it's a better drainage type soil. Now, I don't really think that I need all the water, and part of the problem of this, and this is a county problem, not Mr. Ward's problem. The big part of the problem, a lot of this water is coming from Reliance, and part of it's coming from Maryland. And I do not believe that Sussex County should be responsible for taking care of Maryland's drain water. And like I said, I told Mr. Crockett, if we get this drainage problem solved before the first house is built, even though I don't agree with it, I won't oppose it, because the man's got a lot of money invested, and I don't want to see him lose it. I don't agree with what he's doing, but he's still invested that money, and I don't want to be responsible for him losing it. But we have a problem, and I don't think the county should allow anything else to be done out there before they do their homework. That's where I'm coming from. And I guess other than the standard arguments about developments in farm property on four sides, a crop duster less than a mile away from them, my point to him was I think he should have checked with the neighbors before he bought the property, but he didn't do that. So now I guess it's the way the bird flies.
Well,
thank
we'll
you.
See.
Pardon?
We'll see. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? I have one question for our engineer, if you would please. My understanding, and I may be wrong, that's why I want to ask you, when stormwater management is designed and there is an outfall, don't you have to chase the outfall all the way to the end?
Not necessarily. It's not required by the conservation district to follow it from your property to when it reaches a body of water. Their body of water is the wetlands and or the ditch. In some cases, they ask you to do a drainage analysis, but that's usually up to the conservation district.
Okay, and this hasn't gone to them yet, I take it. They haven't seen this.
They haven't seen it because we haven't gotten preliminary approval.
Right, I understand. Okay, you answered my question. Thank you. Okay, being all the questions, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for your time and invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision number 2017, Seaside Baptist Church Incorporated.
An application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, dividing 4.99 acres into two lots located west of Route 277, also known as Robinsonville Road, 125 feet north of Gosling Creek Road within Gosling Creek subdivision. This application was not reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee since this is a proposed lot on an existing subdivision street. On April 5th of 2007, a letter was received from the Gosling Creek Homeowners Association president indicating that the development and property owners are in support of this application. That's all I have,
John. All right, sir.
Mr. Wheeler, is this within the Gosling Creek subdivision, or?
This lot's actually on the rear. Part of it is, and I'll have to pass down the drawings. Forgot that.
Road is within the subdivision.
Okay. But so the lot itself, I mean, in other words, the question I have is whether it requires consent of the subdivision.
I think it has.
Okay.
I passed down copies of a portion of the property that should be a part of this lot that is a part of Gosling Creek. And I passed down copies of the rear lot of the land of Seaside Baptist Church, which will be interconnected with that piece to provide access to Gosling Creek Road. Pass that enough copies. Mm-hmm. Be interconnected. B1.
Okay. So lot B would be added to Gosling Creek.
Yeah, lot B, 1B would be added to this.
Okay. Currently it has access to Robinsonville Road.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
This would be an increase in the density for Gosling Creek.
This is all part of this
subdivision.
This is this.
By letter, we have a letter from the Gosling Creek Homeowners Association. Our community, led by its board of directors, held a special vote in accordance with our bylaws. Proxies were mailed and the required notice was given on October 7th, 2006. A special meeting was held for the sole purpose of the vote. So 90 possible votes, 64 were received. 63 votes were in favor of the annexation, while one vote was in opposition. The two-thirds quorum required by our community bylaws was achieved. And it's signed by Christopher Despato, president. Hope I didn't say that wrong. That's all I have then.
All right, sir. Step right up, if you would. Give us your name and address. And
yes, sir. I'm Charlie Arnold. I'm a pastor of Seaside Baptist. I live across the street of Robinsonville Road from Seaside's property.
Okay. And you've heard what our director had to say. Was there anything you'd like to add?
Not much. He pretty well described it. We are requesting permission to draw that line across the back part of our property to be able to sell that as a lot to someone who's come to us to purchase that to build a home on, and that would help us with our budget to be able to finish our project.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Lang, this first drawing that you passed down to us, what does that represent?
That's a portion of the property within the Gosling Creek purchase subdivision.
Okay.
The drainage easement area. That's the way it's recorded.
For the benefit of the commission, I'm going to pass down an aerial photograph of the area that shows the two parcels that you've been given, the kind of triangular parcel and the long rectangle parcel, so you have some context.
Okay, and that's that piece.
The church you're building is going to be on the front of your...
Yes, sir. The church is on the front of the lot at Robinsonville Road. The lot we're requesting to create is actually where our property backs into Gosling Creek, and Gosling Creek has a private road that frontages that portion of our property. So we went through Gosling Creek's association and went through all their legal process to ask to be able to be added to their homeowners association.
And would this be the only request for a subdivision of this property?
Yes, sir.
So you're not planning to sell off any more portions in the back?
I don't want to sell this piece, but we're at the moment we really don't have a choice. Okay. Financially.
And by selling this piece, will this still allow you adequate space for future parking for your church? And
yes, sir.
Because I see where you've started construction already in the beginning and in the front part. So that won't hamper your square footage that you need for your parking.
No, sir. No, sir. For everything that we have planned at the moment, parking's already in place. At least the rough part of it.
So in terms of the original site plan that was approved for the church.
Yes, sir.
This area here was just excess area?
Yeah, on the original site plan, that was going to be where our septic field was going to be, and we were going to put an open playground area anyway. And so we've gotten new septic information and moved it further toward the front, just on the other side of where that property line will be. And so... Yeah, it didn't affect the overall site plan.
And it also wouldn't affect any stormwater management?
No, sir.
That you would be required to put in?
No, sir.
Do you know if the adjoining property, the Gosling Creek development, are they individual septic systems or?
Yes, sir. There's no...
There's no
sewer out there at all. No, sir. Everybody has septic on both sides, Gosling Creek and Seawood.
So you're stuck.
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
No questions.
Mr. Gordy?
No question.
Mr. Smith?
No, I understand the application.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
Well,
let me figure.
Will the lot include all of the 7,600 square foot irregular shaped piece within Gosling Creek, which is labeled as a drainage area, or will they just be acquiring the area in front of the proposed lot that you're creating, since your lot is actually 10 feet from the street within Gosling Creek.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Who's going to own this creek? Who's going to own that?
This, I don't have a copy of what you're asking.
Here you go.
It's this piece right here.
Where's the connection?
Where's the frontage on the private road?
Yeah, right.
Right.
What you're looking at.
In the paperwork from Gosling Creek, they are creating an easement for this property and giving an easement to whoever buys the lot that we have, because we don't own that part right up to the street.
Okay.
Gosling Creek has approved that.
Okay.
So this is owned by Gosling Creek then?
That is owned by Gosling
Creek.
So basically in that area there, let me see your drawing real quick.
Yes, sir.
In the area in front of the proposed lot, there will be a 10 foot by 154 foot
easement
across the original drainage easement. I don't know if we have a copy of that or not. I might need a copy of that.
And I would think also before we would approve it, we'd need to see that easement. I would think.
We need to see the legal document of the easement, yeah.
Yeah, because right now you're saying there's going to be an easement, but without it, there's no way that this lot has access to Gosling Creek's.
Here you go.
I'm not sure what you're asking for, sir.
Do we have an easement?
Well,
I think what he's asking for is something that documents the right to cross that little piece of land to get to the road.
Okay, we did have the documents from Gosling Creek saying that they would do that.
Okay. But they haven't done it, apparently. That needs to actually be recorded.
Yeah.
It's a legal document, needs to be recorded.
In what way?
Well,
in the form of a
description.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Vince.
I was going to say, it needs to be a form of a deed of easement that would be recorded downstairs in the recorder deed, or at least, you know, prepared and submitted to the commission contingent on, you know, an approval.
Yeah. It's not a, it isn't a, if they've agreed to do it and they will do it, it's not a particularly big deal.
The gentleman who made the offer on this lot, should it be subdivided, already has an agreement to purchase that from them.
Okay, then that gentleman should take care of getting an easement from them. He should, you know, I'm sure he can contact an attorney to draw it up. It's not a big deal, as Mr. Wheatley said. It's just paperwork that confirms what everybody's apparently agreed on.
And
it's a formal document.
Mr. Robertson, assuming that the commission is amenable to approving this, can we just defer action, leave the record open to receive the easement, and then once we get the easement, we can act on it?
Okay. Would that preclude us?
Yeah, even, as Mr. Lang said, grant preliminary.
Subject to?
Preliminary.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what I'm asking for is to be able to go ahead and finish the deal with the gentleman to sell the property. I mean, he's not going to go. We don't have the money to do that at this point. That's the whole reason why we're asking to subdivide this piece of property, is to be able to sell it and have the money we need for our budget for the main project. The gentleman who's offering to buy that can incur that expense, but he's not going to do that expense if y'all aren't going to approve.
Chicken
or the egg. I mean, I'm really caught.
Well, we can approve it,
yeah.
Subject to.
Well,
preliminary.
Yeah.
As a preliminary, subject to receipt of that.
Okay.
That should get you where you need to go.
Okay. So if y'all give approval to that tonight, then is that telling me that I'm able to go back to the buyer and say, we have approval, but you need to go get your deed for your easement, and then the final approval is there. Is that correct?
That's it, right?
That's, I think you got it.
Okay.
Where were we in the questions here? Blank?
No, I would like to have a copy of that drawing, because I don't have one of those in the file.
Okay. Mr. Couch, do you have anything to add? No question.
Can
you counsel
on that?
No. I have a concern about the whole thing with Gosling Creek, but I think I can, just in terms of if we're modifying and adding the density to Gosling Creek, and, you know, we got that letter from them in light of some of the other applications that are pending.
Yeah.
And they did that based on their 2/3 of their bylaws, which gave them 63 or 64 people, whatever I read.
Right.
But is that 51 of the
It would add, it would add one single home.
I
it would add one home to the, to Gosling Creek.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that that's consistent with advice that's been given to the commission.
All right. All right, sir, if you would take a seat for a second, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-17 Seaside Baptist Church Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-17? Does anyone on the commission have any questions?
Perfect. Lawrence, do you want me to make a copy of that drawing that he has?
Yeah, if you can. Our machine's on.
Yep.
It should be. It's still on anyway. I just didn't have one of those in the file. Had a legal description and a 10-foot strip, and that was it.
Okay. There being no further questions, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to just call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is Ordinance Amendment Chapter 115-160, Illegal Signs.
Do you all have copies of that ordinance?
We do, or I do.
I did.
Yeah,
I need one.
I think we did.
I need one?
I need one.
Okay. One you need one too, This is an ordinance to amend Section 115-160 of the Code of Sussex County with respect to illegal signs.
All right, gentlemen, I have to assume everybody's had an opportunity to read this.
Just for the record, I need to summarize.
Oh, you want to read it in? Okay.
No, I'm just going to read the synopsis.
Okay, go right ahead. Pardon me.
The ordinance in its current form requires 30 days written notice to the owner of an illegal sign or an owner or lessee of property on which an illegal sign has been placed before being able to remove it. This revised ordinance will eliminate the need to notify the owner of the sign or the owner of land and will allow for the immediate removal of an illegal sign. The revisions also allow for the collection fee of $25, which the county may collect from either the owner of the sign or the owner of the land on which the sign is located.
I, you know what occurred to me when we were looking at that, I was reading this, is what about all these campaign signs that are going to get put up here before too long?
Campaign signs are have a reference in the state law.
So they're exempt
from
this?
We used to have references to them, and the problem with those was that our own ordinance was in conflict with state law when the state law was amended. And it's they were used to be allowed so much time before a election, referendum, or whatever, and then so much time after before it had to be removed. And then they would put up thank you stickers on the either supporters and that type of thing, and it just got out of hand. But this previous county attorneys, I don't know if Jim and Vince have ever had to address it, have advised us that there isn't much of anything we can do about political signs, except ask that we make phone calls to the headquarters of each party and try to get them to remove them. If they get out of hand, they seem to take care of it. And the state seems to used to have a habit of picking them up by the truckload, dropping them off the front door at headquarters for each party, so it seemed to work. Cool. The problem we have here is what we call the bandit signs, or the signs that just stick up at an intersection on Friday night and stay till Sunday night or longer.
Mm-hmm.
They may be picked up on Sunday night, they may not. And there might be 20, 30, 40 signs at one intersection. And they used to all be on state right away. The state passed regulation to allow them to pick the signs up on state right away. They charge them $25 and they can retrieve their sign for a $15 additional fee. Mm-hmm. And basically we're following suit because everybody realized that if they weren't on state property, the state couldn't pick them up. So they put them on private property and mostly without permission.
How about
the definition of a legal sign? Of an illegal or legal?
Well, either one. Well, take your pick.
I mean, is it somebody that doesn't go through?
They can get a permit or
permit? They're not a permitted use. They're being placed illegally. They're of sort directional signs, but then again, they may not be because it just says, I don't want you mentioning names, but it'll just say Joe's Homes. You know, for sale or whatever, put an arrow or
I mean, you
go to any intersection towards the beach and you can spot 20 to 30. That's on Route 9.
Right. Now, how about temporary construction signs identifying as
they're described in the ordinance.
I was going to say, they're in a different part of the ordinance, right?
A lot of them don't require a permit, but they have limitation on their size.
Right, okay.
And Mr. Gordy, to expand upon that, what's not quoted in this ordinance is actually the first part of that subsection that talks about an illegal sign being one that's in conflict with the regulations, which refers to the other subsections.
Okay.
So it's spelled out.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
Would this include the big storage trailers that have the big signs on them? That
they're already in code, they're already get violated.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's different.
Yeah, and lettering on buildings even is now considered.
Yeah.
What about the lettered signs? You know, like for example, you got one across from Sports at the Beach advertising the coffee place in Georgetown.
I haven't seen that one, but that could be pulled up and be one of those signs.
So that could be one of those.
Advertising the blinking coffee store.
I can tell.
I could back my Yukon up to that and haul that way for you.
That's the other sign that there's sections of the code that provide for what's permitted in each district.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then there's sign regulation that describe what's permitted in any district, what's prohibited in any district, mm-hmm. and this just wasn't clear. And this provides us for a mechanism that we can pull the sign up and hold it, and we can retain it for 30 days, and if they don't pick it up, we can destroy it.
All right.
But the fining would follow the owner of the sign.
It would follow the owner of the sign or the owner of the land. Because the difficulty is, in some case, you can't really tell who owns the sign other than the wording on the sign.
Right.
It's going to represent a real estate, not a real estate company normally, but a builder.
Right.
Or a home builder, that type of thing. But typically what they are. Might reference a bit small business.
That's right. That's right.
Been a problem with the county and the state for a year or so and or longer, and it's just gotten to a point of
When would you go after the landowner? I mean, if
when you can't find the guy that owns the sign.
Can't find a guy that owns the sign, that's true. typically they come in with a truckload of signs, all different types.
But they'll stick a sign
Friday night and they stick the signs up out in somebody's corner field and
go with the trailer that drives around
and drive away.
The landowner may not know it's there.
In most cases, I put money on it that the landowner doesn't know it's there. They're not getting any payment of any kind for letting them put the signs up. They're just sticking them up.
I would suspect in the practical enforcement of that the primarily would be whoever was benefiting from the sign is the person who's going to have to deal with the fine.
And what we're have to do is something similar to the state. We're have to come up with a form of a violation just for that sign. We have to take a picture of it and include it on that violation and show it posted and the finished product.
Well, if you got to do all
serial number it somehow to be able to give it back to them if they come to retrieve it.
You got
to
do all that, $25 will never cover it.
No, but they're not there anymore.
Probably make it $125 or something.
But yeah, and obviously the aim of this is twofold. One, it's to be able to, you know, pull the signs now.
I understand. It's more to just to be able to get rid of them. Sure.
But it's $25 per sign.
Right. And $15 per sign to retrieve it.
If you want it back, you got to pay another $15.
So each sign got a separate violation unless we pull them all at once.
Not mine, but I'd kind of like to have it.
Yeah.
Sign's a separate violation, basically.
Okay.
So it has to be a separate form.
All right. Gentlemen, anyone else wish to weigh in before we ask for public testimony here? Is there anyone here with an interest in the ordinance amendment? Chapter 115-160, illegal signs, that would like to speak this evening. Does anyone on the commission have any additional comments or questions? Well, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite ourselves to stay the rest of our Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you won't get to call the office in the morning. All right, gentlemen, that completes our public hearings. We have one item of other business, and this is a comprehensive land use plan time extension.
For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down copies of a letter I drafted And we brought this up last week so we could put it on the agenda. As we have progressed through our update of our comprehensive plan and kind of watching the calendar, we foresee a need for a possible additional time to get finished before so that we can adopt because of all the steps necessary. So what I've done, I've drafted a letter addressed to Connie Holland, Office of State Planning Coordination, advising them or reminding them that our present plan was adopted on December 10 of 2002, that we're in the process of updating, which she's aware of, and that what steps we've taken over the last many months in this preparation of this land use plan, and what we received to date. Again, also before you is a copy of the three elements of the update: conservation element, the parks and recreation element, the water and wastewater element, for your review and comment only. It's not a, just a draft version for your review. And we'll receive an additional set of elements in the next couple of weeks. And I also advise that we're in the process of scheduling two additional listening workshops for late September for additional input in the update. And that one will be held on the east, one will be held in the western part of the county. I didn't give her the dates because I'm not wasn't sure when I wrote this morning what the dates were. We're still waiting on receipt of a draft of the recommended mobility element from DLDOT for review and consideration, and hope to have that available for the listening workshops. And that upon completion of the listening workshops, the URDC will prepare a final draft for county consideration for submittal to the Advisory Council on Planning and Coordination. And basically lay the scheduling, request a time extension. And on behalf of the commission and the council, please accept this letter as a request for a 6-month time extension to complete the comprehensive plan. And advising her that it is our intent to complete the project as quickly as possible, and we do not anticipate that we will need the full 6 months. And I would request, because in talking with the state planning office, they said this letter had to come from the commission. It was supposed to be the commission's plan, so I wrote the letter.
Well,
and just need a motion to, or a consensus even, to allow me to do that.
I think we need the time to get it done. It's not like we haven't been working on it.
Well, we don't think it'll take us that extra 6 months. We would have actually... 6 months would be from October 17th, is that right, Rick?
When is yes, 17th? October, yeah. I think 17th is
that would be to April, and we should have this thing done first year, I would think.
The other problem we're running into is just the difficulty of scheduling meetings and getting things done over the Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays. You know how difficult meeting schedules are at
you're
that
not
time.
Gonna, you can't do it.
Plus, the other thing that's not in this letter, but if you might recall, when we first started the process, selecting a consultant took a little bit more time than we had originally intended also. So we were really delayed right from the get-go time frame that we had originally planned for all this. So
you want the form of a motion or simply consensus from the group?
You know, it seems like it's just as easy if you could do it in a motion, I guess.
Okay.
You might as well. That
well,
way you know
we'll
you've
entertain
got
a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we request a 6-month time extension for our Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan.
Second.
So moved and seconded to request a 6-month time extension for the preparation of the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Me.
Okay. Motion carries 4-1. Mr. Lank, if you would be so kind as to drop that letter in the mail.
Does it need to be signed by the chairman, or is Connie said it's already signed by you?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
somebody just has to sign it.
All right, gentlemen.
And the other thing I have, I did give you a copy of the comp plan elements that we just received.
Right.
We got it. I would add a reference to the vote that was just taken before you send it, that the planning commission considered this request.
Okay, add that into the letter.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, that completes our agenda. Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was a conditional use 1760 Francis B. Precup.